This year, we have had a phenomenal growing season for native plants. And guess where all the birds go? Mainly for their foods. They're hitting the native plants. And along with that, when you have great growing season for native plants, you generally have a pretty good insect year. And so many of our birds are just feasting on those insects as well. So we see a lot of natural foods and insects. That's where the birds are going.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Nature Centered, a podcast from Wild Birds Unlimited about feeding the birds and enjoying nature right in your own backyard. Here are your hosts, naturalist John Shoust and Brian Cunningham.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Shoust.
And I am Brian Cunningham.
And welcome to episode number 88, Double Eights. Today, we're going to talk about where are all the birds. You know, a lot of questions about what happens when the bird activity at my feeder slows down and why. Where did the birds go? And how do I get them back? So lots of things to talk about today.
Yes, and it's a big question and it's disconcerting. What happened to all my birds? But we've got some answers that may surprise you today that deal with maybe selective memory or abundant spring weather, family ties, even onesies. But big question this year too has been, oh my goodness, where are all the hummingbirds, especially the ruby-throated hummingbirds? We have loads of expert tips to get into and reasons and yes, how do you get them back? And beyond just, you know, how do you steal them from your neighbors if they have all the birds right now and you don't? So we've got the answers for you.
And I chuckle, Brian, because as a grandparent of two small grandkids, onesies has a totally different meaning to me than what I'm thinking you're talking about. But well, we'll find out. We'll find out if that's the case.
That's right.
All right, everybody.
I got you. Yeah.
Stick around for the fun. All right, Brian, good stuff today. I'm really excited about talking about this because this is one of those things that you and I and a lot of other people deal with, you know, and a lot of our store owners deal with on a real regular basis with people coming in and saying, where are all my birds? My feeder activity's really just slowed way down and I don't have the birds I used to have and what's happening and where did they all go and, you know, that type of thing. And so, you know, today I think we've got some good information for people to kind of make them feel not as panicked maybe. Because sometimes, you know, people mm-hmm. immediately go to the dark side and think that, you know, the natural world is falling apart and all the birds are dying and, you know, the climate is changing so much that it's causing the birds to behave differently, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of different big picture possibilities. But really, most of the time, it's something a little more simple and not near as threatening, if you will. So lots of good explanations today.
Yeah. You know, when we think about the birds and we think about especially the birds that visit our backyards and we watch them so regularly and we notice that the coming and going and when all of a sudden it's like, well, my goodness, where did they go? Well, something that we pay attention to a lot is every spring into summer, the growing seasons, and we're watching the weather and how is that affecting native foods. This year has been a really fascinating year to watch that across North America, and especially the eastern part of North America, we've had a phenomenal growing season for native plants and just gardens and lawns. And I see, too, and I was just out west for 8 days, there's a pretty good growing season in many parts of the west as well. So in general, we have had a phenomenal growing season for native plants. And guess where all the birds go? Mainly for their foods. They're hitting the native plants. And along with that, when you have great growing season for native plants, you generally have a pretty good insect year. And so many of our birds are just feasting on those insects mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of natural foods and insects. That's where the birds are going. And you think about what's going on with the birds in the spring and summer? They're raising families, and the main thing they're feeding their babies are insects, trying to get them out of the nest. And then, so where the birds go, there's the good general answer. Lots of good native foods.
Yeah. And I think your point's well made, Brian. And the fact that, you know, the more native plants, the more insects that are associated with those plants. So you've got a kind of a double whammy in the sense of the birds are, you know, feeding right. on the seeds and things that the plants provide, but they're also feeding on the insects that are feeding on the plants. And I would agree totally. And just my own yard is an example this year. You know, I've got a mulberry tree out by the corner of my driveway, and I've lived here over 30 years. So I've got a long track record.
A little history.
Yeah, a little history with my property and my trees and everything else that's here. And I have to say a pretty comfortable saying that this is the most abundant crop of mulberries on that tree that I've seen in 30 years. It was just loaded. Unbelievable amounts. And the activity in that tree with the robins and the bluebirds and all kinds of other birds coming in, and catbirds, and then, you know, the squirrels were just having a feast going on after the mulberries. So the activity in that tree while the mulberries were still on it was unbelievable. You know, and the other thing, I've got a whole big native plant garden out in front of my house, and we've had it for a number of years. I don't know that I've ever seen, matter of fact, I know I've never seen it so lush and so vigorous as it is this year. Just a beautiful array of all types of different, mostly prairie species that are in that garden. So, and you know, and the other thing, Brian, that I think about, you know, in regards to, you know, the abundance of native plants and the abundance of the insects that are utilizing those plants is not only a great growing season, but just sheer volume anymore. You know, you just mm-hmm. didn't, you know, you go back to, you know, here in Indiana, 1969 was our first nature preserve in the entire state. We now have almost 300 nature preserves. All of those have huge amounts of native plants now growing in them. Almost every parks department landscapes with native plants. You've got people and, you know, they're around their houses doing native plants. Many of our stores are now selling native plants to their customers. You know, the businesses even, you know, I see things like purple coneflower and all kinds of different things around businesses and it's for their landscaping. So I think just the sheer volume, and then you put on a great growing season, and it's pretty amazing that, you know, it's got to spread those birds out. It absolutely has to spread the birds out into new locations in different areas.
Oh, for sure. My yard's been similar, and in my travels this year, I have seen similarly across the U.S. that just good growing season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all these great natives. My yard, like yours, John, I've been getting some native plants from the local Whopper's Unlimited store, and this year I planted some more. My wife put out up front one of the Monarda species. Then it was supposed to be a 2-3 foot high plant. 2 weeks ago, I took a picture. It is 6 feet high. It has no competition, and it's in shade for the most part. And this thing exploded. Uh-huh. I can't imagine how big and lush it would be if it was in its prime little habitat. Growing like crazy. It's really, really good. And that's that first, where are the birds? Okay, let's look what's going on. Birds still, they supplement at our feeders. When we feed them, so exactly. We can bring them in closer, give them that supplement to help them through the just some of the extra times or storms and such. But we've talked about why we love summer bird feeding, because you get to bring in all these juvenile birds mm-hmm. and all this new activity, and you know that your supplements are helping them just get that little extra leg up. So loads of fun watching all that. But a really concerning question that I had this year was, where are the hummingbirds?
Yeah.
And we've gotten that question every spring, right? And it doesn't matter where you live. Where are the hummingbirds? This is where that maybe that selective memory comes into play. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking mm-hmm. about the birds. I'm talking about us. Because we remember, especially with ruby-throated hummingbirds in the east, they migrate out. And come into the fall. And so we remember last fall where we had all sorts of birds moving through. We had two broods of birds raised. And so you have lots and lots of population moving through. But come springtime, we get those, the males that are on their territory. They move in spring, mm-hmm. they set up a territory, mm-hmm. they try to keep everyone else out. And then females are coming in and they're setting up a territory for a food plot area. So they have enough food for themselves and to raise their broods, and they try to keep the other hummingbirds out. So that's where the onesies come in.
Yeah.
And not right, John? You know, you're seeing one at a time. And so what we remember was lots of them. But spring, until we start getting into some of those broods coming off the nest, and ruby throats have one or two broods in the summer. And until you get to that August time frame, that's when it really starts picking back up, or maybe even September for some places. And you get a lot more. So that's fairly typical for what's going to happen. But I had so many store owners this year, and so many people reach out individually and ask where the birds, all the way into this high summertime, that I went in, and in eBird, you can look at different data points. And I started digging into county local areas about where these questions were coming in. What I found was they may not be at your feeders, but the numbers are still normal for each of those areas. So the birds are being seen out in the field, even if they're not being seen at your feeders. So there's not a concern for, oh my goodness, something happened and we've lost a lot of hummingbirds, a lot of ruby throats. No, that's not the case. We see that the numbers are still being seen in the field. But then when you look out west, and I was just out west for 8-day vacation. I mean, we were seeing Rufus hummingbirds, Allans, Annas, and Blackchins. They were hitting feeders. There was no slowdown anywhere where we were with feeders. They were all over them. And we were finding them in the field on a regular basis. So interestingly, this year, I did not hear a single concern from any store owner or individual out west about, oh, where are the hummingbirds? So they seem to be pretty normal activity-wise out west.
You know, we talk about abundance of plants and nectar, you know, plants for the hummingbirds and all kinds of stuff that's, again, maybe impacts the amount of time they spend at your feeders and that type of thing. But it wasn't too many years ago. I mean, we're not in too bad a shape, you know, across the continent this year, but we had some pretty serious drought conditions a few years back, and that's another thing to keep in mind. Hummingbirds are not dumb. You know, if they come back to an area that is decimated because of, you know, historic drought for year after year, they're going to pick up on the fact that there's not going to be many nectar plants, and there aren't many nectar plants available to them, and they're just going to keep moving until they find the right location to, you know, be able to support nesting and that type of thing. So, you know, there's just all kinds of little factors that are out there that you know, need to be considered when you're, you know, looking at your feeders and going, where are all my birds? There can be some very simple explanations sometimes.
Yes. Well, and John, we've got some great tips for, hey, if the feeding is slow in your yard, we've got some great tips to help you to at least set the stage so that when you can either draw them in, or when they're ready to come back, they know exactly where to go. And if you do these things, they're going to come to your yard.
Yeah. I think it's fun to, you know, you can play around if the, you know, activity at your feeder is not quite what you'd like it to be, or there's some birds in the area that you really want to, you know, try to attract. This is a really good time. If your feeders are slow, this is a good time to kind of play around, switch up the game a little bit and try some new things. And you know, but the bottom line with that is it's really important to maintain one feeder 24/7, you know, that yes. type of 365. You want to have one feeder that's always available, reliable, dependable source of food for the birds. And, you know, I've always kept a hopper feeder. That's absolutely my foundational feeder. It's one I maintain all the time. And then, you know, if I'm wanting to try to, you know, pull some things in, I might try some different foods or some different feeders that I may have never tried or had forgotten about for a while, and see if I can attract some of the birds to, you know, like you're saying, I think you mentioned mealworms, I believe, but, you know, things like mealworms and bark butter and those types of things that are really great at pulling in some birds that maybe take a little more convincing.
Right. Oh, I love live mealworms because it's mimicking the caterpillars they're naturally feeding on. And so it's a great supplement. It's a great way to attract their bird's attention to bring them in. And oh my goodness, all those young that are bouncing around, these fledglings that are still learning where to feed. You get woodpeckers and chickadees, and then you got goldfinches. They're learning where to feed and being taught by their parents. Mealworms are a great way to do that. Of course, goldfinches are pretty much 100% vegetarian. So they're hitting the seeds. But these other birds, yeah, mealworms, also love high protein blends, because you think about all these fledglings are off the nest and they're looking for protein to just grow, get to that adult size. But they're also changing out their feathers and going from that nice nestling feathers. And many of them are then going into late summer, early fall, where they're going to put on their adult feathers to get through wintertime. And then all the parent birds, they finish with nesting, they now start to go through a molting time to do the same, where they're switching out their feathers for kind of that wintertime, get ready for migration. And so lots of proteins being sought by the birds. I love, like you said, the mealworms, but another bluebird bugberry blend is fantastic. It's a great high protein blend. Love that. And you mentioned bark butter, good proteins. So love all those. Another one, the super suets. I love our super suets. And I know, John, you love the woodpeckers. And of course I do too. I love how you've always called them the true blue visitors.
Yeah. Yeah. Other birds may come and go sometimes and may disappear. Like my bluebirds traditionally keep them year round, except like August, after their nesting season is concluded. Late August, early September, I might lose them for 6 or 7 weeks before I start seeing them back at my feeders again. That's really very rarely. I think only one time in all the years have I ever had where it seemed like the woodpecker activity was really, really slow. Typically, they're very loyal, and they are very, dependable to come to your feeders. And, I'm a bird bander. I, do the little band on the leg to, be able to track birds. A couple of years ago, I've been doing it again this year, and just in the middle of it right now, but a couple of years ago, I do intensive banding this time of year because I'm getting all those youngsters and getting bands on them, and I'm getting some of the orioles and catbirds before they depart and, migrate back south and that type of thing. And a couple of years ago, much to my amazement, and this is another thing to keep in mind, you probably have more birds coming to your feeders than you think you have, because I was banding woodpeckers, and about a month's time, I banded 24 downy woodpeckers coming to my suet feeder. 24. And the amazing thing, Brian, was there were still birds coming to that suet feeder, to that tail prop, that did not have bands on them. So, you more than likely have a lot more birds coming to your feeders than you really think you do. So, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
Isn't it, though?
And you think, you live in suburbia. Yes, you have a nice habitat around, and obviously lots of trees for the woodpeckers. But holy cow, it's suburbia. That's a lot of downy woodpeckers. And John, you bring up an excellent point that just paying attention to the birds coming in. I know there are folks who say, well, I know some of my birds individually. I can tell which one's which, and I name them, give them names. You really can start to see individual birds by the way they carry themselves, or maybe there's a particular color pattern that's a little specific, or a bent feather or something. It's really neat that you can actually start to see those individuals, but a lot of times it's really challenging, and to have a bird band on them and see that kind of hard data set is just absolutely fascinating. And to know that these birds are regularly in your yard, and you may not be seeing them on that regular basis just because you're not watching all hours of the day.
Right, right.
So always, have those foods out, have that foundational feeder out, let the birds know the restaurant's open, come get your bits, your bites, your nipples. Mm-hmm. And then when you're ready to come in and feast on some more, you know where to go. And we do know that birds actually pay attention to that. They want to have those reliable food sources so that they know when I'm really hungry, storm's going to come, or if I'm going to go to roost, or whatever it is, they know that you're the place to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Another, yes, right. And another way to switch up the game in your backyard, if the activity is kind of slow, and we've talked about it many, many times, but this is the right time to bring it up again. And that's water. Technically you can attract more birds with water to your yard, because there's a lot of birds that don't use feeders, but they use water. And especially in the summertime when it's really hot, you know, and they're having to, the birds actually kind of pant to dissipate heat, and that soaks up a lot of moisture, if you will, and they need good, reliable source of water. And so having some type of water feature or bird bath with a bubbler or some type of sound associated with moving water can be amazing, because it can attract a lot of birds that you typically would not see in your backyard.
Oh, for sure. And John, we've talked about water in the past and how much we love it. So that's a great reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else, Brian? What else have we put people's fears to rest a little bit and given them some other things to think about in regards to why the birds may be a little slower at their feeders at different times of the year or different years?
I think so, John. I definitely covered some of those questions I've been getting, help alleviate those concerns and things you can do to help make sure that the food's there when the birds are ready. They'll be coming in, you'll be able to see them. But I'd say probably the last bit, just try to pay a little bit more attention. Look out at different times of the day if you're home, and if need be, step outside and just listen and watch, because it may surprise you that they're still in the area, they're still talking and bouncing around, but maybe they're hitting all the native and natural foods.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting going into fall to see what happens, because again, it's been a great growing mm-hmm. season. So there's right. going to be a huge abundance of, you know, seed resources on the different native plants, and tree nuts are going to come on strong, it looks like. So it's going to be interesting to see what the bird activity at our feeders is this fall too.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Well, I hope everyone's enjoyed hearing about where are the birds and some of the answers for you today. So love to hear what you have to say about these topics. And even tell us, how's your bird activity?
Absolutely, Brian. And really, until our next visit, when we're going to talk about why we love insects. Interesting. How appropriate. Until then, Brian and I are going to continue to let nature be our guide. So please, take care, be safe, and keep those feeders clean.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
To subscribe to the podcast, get show notes, or find the Wild Birds Unlimited store nearest you, visit wbu.com/podcast. We'd really appreciate you telling your friends about Nature Centered. But more than that, we hope you find a moment to relax, enjoy the birds, and stay nature centered.